Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are tackling a term that seems to ignite political panic almost constantly, multiculturalism.
Yeah.
You know, for years now, we've heard leaders across Europe, people like Cameron, Merkel, basically declare it a failure.
Yeah, and that specific declaration, that failure narrative, is exactly what we're digging into today. I mean, if millions of people are, you know, successfully living diverse lives in diverse cities every single day, why does the political rhetoric keep insisting multiculturalism is dead?
Right.
Our deep dive today really centers on the comprehensive work of the sociologist Ali Ratanzi.
And Ratanzi, well, he forces us to look past all that political noise, you know, the media panic. Our goal here is to try and extract the actual nuanced reality of cultural diversity, to move beyond this very simple idea that it either totally failed or was a perfect success.
Exactly. We're trying to dissect that really profound disconnect for you. The gap between multiculturalism as, say, an academic idea versus how it's lived on the ground, and then how it gets used as a kind of political punching bag.
Okay, let's unpack this then.
So maybe first, let's properly introduce our guide through all this complex stuff. Ali Ratanzi, he's a really distinguished sociologist and cultural theorist, currently a visiting professor at City University of London.
Okay.
And his specialty is race, ethnicity, cultural identity, and this is crucial, post-colonial theory.
And that background is just so essential, isn't it? Because he brings real scholarly rigor to what's often a highly, highly politicized subject. He's not coming in as like a cheerleader for one side or the other.
No.
He's a meticulous analyst, decades of research into racism, identity.
Yeah.
And he combines that academic depth with real insight into the lived experience of cultural diversity. It makes his argument pretty hard to ignore.
He offers that necessary balance, you know, when the whole debate usually gets boiled down to these polarizing sound bites. It's either, you know, total tolerance no matter what, or outright rejection. Ratanzi insists on a third way, critical evidence-based analysis.
So let's jump right into the core argument of his work then. Ratanzi directly confronts this widely publicized idea, especially among Western leaders, that multiculturalism has fundamentally failed.
Yeah, and he refutes it almost immediately. Ratanzi argues this whole declaration of death is a massive oversimplification. It's built on, well, myths, historical amnesia, and frankly, political opportunism. He sees it as a convenient scapegoat for failures that actually lie elsewhere in society.
But does he acknowledge any problems with integration? Because it feels like, you know, some of the criticisms, especially after certain events, have felt quite real to a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. He definitely acknowledges the friction, the tensions, but he fundamentally redirects the blame. He argues the problem isn't the basic idea of recognizing cultural difference. The real problem, he says, is our failure to confront deeper structural forces. Things like persistent racism, chronic socioeconomic inequality, and crucially, the heavy, unsettling legacy of colonialism.
So his answer to that big question, is the criticism of multiculturalism valid? Is basically no, because the criticism is aimed at the wrong thing entirely. The friction comes from structural problems, not inherent cultural clashes.
Precisely. It's like if two communities are in conflict, Ratanzi would tell us to look first at whether they have equal access to decent housing, to jobs, to justice, before we start blaming their cultural traditions or, you know, their food.
That focus on structure really does shift the whole conversation. But, okay, to really grasp his argument, we need to get past the confusion around the word itself. How does Ratanzi actually define multiculturalism? Because it seems to mean so many different things.
That's absolutely the starting point. And that confusion is often exploited, right? So Ratanzi introduces three really important distinctions. First, there's multiculturalism as just demographic reality. The simple fact that societies are diverse. Can't argue with that.
Like it just is.
Second, multiculturalism as an ideology, like the philosophical idea of celebrating diversity. And third, multiculturalism as a policy framework, the specific government actions or approaches put in place to manage that demographic reality.
I see. So the critics often deliberately mix up the policy framework, which might have flaws, obviously, with the basic demographic fact of diversity.
Yeah.
They try to discredit the whole idea of a plural society by pointing fingers at specific policies. That's the political move.
That's exactly the move. And once you make those distinctions clear, you can look at the history properly. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because these policies, they weren't just abstract ideas cooked up by academics. They were pragmatic responses born out of necessity.
That's right. Ratanzi really shows how these policies emerged, practically, as a response to the clear failure of older assimilationist policies, and also because of the demands from anti-racist movements back in the 1960s and 70s.
It was fundamentally a political project, you know, aimed at fixing systemic injustice. You had people coming from former colonies, right? They were expected to completely erase their culture. But even then, they were still denied full economic and social inclusion because of deep-seated racial discrimination.
Yeah.
So multicultural policies were essentially a demand for inclusion without having to completely annihilate your cultural background.
Okay, so let's move to how he systematically debunks some of the main myths. The one you hear constantly is that multiculturalism encourages separatism, creates isolated ghettos.
Right, the myth of separatism. Right. Ratanzi really takes this apart. He argues very convincingly that residential segregation is overwhelmingly driven by economic factors, things like poverty, the cost of housing, and by racism. You know, housing discrimination, white flight. And crucially, he points to evidence showing that most ethnic minorities actually want to live in mixed integrated neighborhoods. It's structural forces pushing them apart, not some cultural desire to self-segregate.
So if a politician stands up and blames lack of integration on people choosing to live apart, Ratanzi would say they're ignoring the fact that those people were often economically forced into that area or actively kept out of others by prejudice.
Exactly that. Now, the second big myth. This worry that multiculturalism forces liberal societies to tolerate illiberal practices, especially, you know, the oppression of women, all under the banner of cultural relativism.
Yeah, the slippery slope argument. Critics love that one. Does Ratanzi see any truth in it?
He pretty much dismisses it as a gross caricature. He makes it really clear that almost all state-sponsored multiculturalism operates firmly within a liberal democratic framework. Within that framework, universal human rights, and that absolutely includes women's rights and the rule of law, are paramount. They're non-negotiable. He also stresses that often the most effective challenges to, say, patriarchal practices actually come from feminists and secular voices within those minority communities. Policies should empower those internal critics, not undermine them.
That focus on structure, on segregation being driven by economics and discrimination, it forces us to look back, doesn't it? Ratanzi insists we can't grasp current anxieties without facing the past. Where does he trace this persistent bias back to?
He calls it the shadow of colonialism. Ratanzi argues really strongly that our current anxieties about diversity are profoundly shaped by the racial and cultural hierarchies that were set up during the imperial era.
Right.
So when post-colonial migrants arrived, they weren't arriving in some neutral space. They were coming into societies that still, often unconsciously, viewed them through a lens of cultural superiority and racial hierarchy left over from empire.
So the resistance to seeing former colonial subjects as fully equal citizens today, it's just an echo of that imperial history.
Yes, precisely. And that brings us right up to the central flashpoint in the modern debate, what he calls the Muslim question. Ratanzi argues this has become the sort of convenient proxy for all anxieties about diversity and integration.
It's become this focus that conveniently distracts from deeper systemic problems, hasn't it?
Exactly. Islamophobia, which is often, you know, fueled by geopolitical events and media narratives, allows Islam to be constantly framed as this single monolithic, somehow threatening force. By focusing relentlessly on this one question, society avoids looking squarely at its own failures.
Failures like?
Well, failures to provide genuine economic security and social belonging for all its citizens. It's a very effective way to divert attention from the ongoing problems of institutional racism and widening economic inequality.
Okay, so if we step back from the details for a moment, what are the core takeaways, the big messages from Ratanzi that should maybe inform how we think about society and policy?
Well, one really powerful idea is about the complexity of identity. Ratanzi stresses that cultural identity isn't fixed in neat little boxes. It's fluid, it's hybrid, it's complex.
Right.
So any policy based on these rigid, fixed cultural categories is just bound to be inadequate because people don't live their lives as these static representatives of one single culture. We're all mixtures.
That makes sense. What else?
Secondly, really recognizing that multiculturalism is, at its heart, a political project. These demands for cultural recognition, they're not just about wanting, you know, cultural festivals or special foods. Fundamentally, they are about power, resources, and social justice. It's about achieving full, equal participation in a democratic society.
Right. It's not just symbolic. Thirdly, you've mentioned it a lot, the undeniable importance of structural factors, things like poverty rates, educational success. Ratanzi shows they're shaped much more by economic inequality, housing policies, systemic discrimination, than by cultural differences per se.
Yeah. If you want social cohesion, Ratanzi basically argues, you have to tackle injustice first. Culture isn't the primary driver of conflict. Inequality is.
And finally.
I think the need for adaptive approaches. Societies changed massively since the first multicultural policies were developed, right? Globalization, new migration patterns. All this means we need continuous adaptive policymaking. We need ongoing dialogue, not just rigidly sticking to old models that might be out of date.
Ratanzi's work is just full of these really powerful, quotable insights, isn't it?
Yep.
Let's touch on a few that really capture the essence. First, this pretty blunt claim. The declaration of multiculturalism's death is based on a toxic brew of shoddy research, political opportunism, and media-fueled moral panics.
Yeah, that just tells you straight away, doesn't it? The failure narrative isn't some objective intellectual conclusion. It's a political strategy. It's designed to shift blame away from systemic issues like economic problems or institutional bias onto minority cultures.
And then there's the historical honesty he demands. Before we can understand the tensions of multicultural Europe today, we must first confront the ghosts of its imperial past.
That's Ratanzi insisting we absolutely have to apply that historical lens. How diverse populations are treated today is deeply, deeply rooted in how imperial powers treated their subjects for centuries. You can't analyze the present properly if you just ignore or sanitize that history.
He also really stresses the difficulty, but the necessity, of finding a balance. Effective approaches must acknowledge both the reality of cultural difference and the importance of shared civic values.
It really captures the core challenge, I think. He's not saying sacrifice one for the other. He's saying the real work of a successful, diverse democracy is holding both commitments at the same time. It's a constant, difficult negotiation, you know? It's never a finished product.
And one more key distinction he makes, related to definitions earlier. He urges us to distinguish between the irreversible social reality of diversity, it's just here, and the specific, sometimes flawed, government policies designed to manage it.
Right, and critics deliberately blur those two things together all the time, don't they? They attack the flawed policy to try and discredit the unavoidable reality.
So these insights offer some really crucial practical applications for you, the listener. The first one is just becoming a much smarter, more critical consumer of media.
Definitely. When you see a headline or hear a politician blaming multiculturalism for some social problem like lack of integration, Ratanzi equips you to just pause and ask, okay, hang on. Are they conveniently ignoring housing discrimination? Are they ignoring economic exclusion? Are they ignoring persistent racism as the actual main cause of this problem?
It gives you the tools to question that dominant narrative, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And then say, in professional life or civic context, the book pushes us away from rigid top-down rules. It suggests policy development needs adaptive, responsive methods. You have to build policy based on genuine consultation with the communities actually affected by it. You have to ask them what the real barriers are. And maybe just on a personal level, understanding that identity is complex, fluid, hybrid. It helps us avoid stereotyping. It's a reminder that, you know, a person isn't just a neat representative of some cultural category. They're an individual navigating multiple identities, just like everyone else.
That's the core personal shift the book encourages, perhaps. For me, what really stood out was that intellectual paradigm shift. Ratanzi moves us away from thinking about multiculturalism as just, you know, passive tolerance or maybe some token celebration.
Yeah, the saris, samosas, and steel drums approach, as it's sometimes called.
Exactly. And towards understanding it as a conscious, ongoing political project. A project aimed at achieving social justice and genuine equality for everyone.
So what does this all really mean for us at the end of the day? I think Ratanzi's most lasting insight is this. A truly successful diverse society isn't one that's magically free of friction because change, especially social change, always involves some friction. No, a successful diverse society is one that is constantly, consciously, actively working to dismantle those structural inequalities we talked about, working to achieve genuine equality of opportunity for all its citizens. And that work, it never really ends.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker,
yeah.
Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekhatra Foundation.